Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. Super Bowl 59 is in the books, and the guys will break down the game and the dominant performance from the Eagles. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? We are about to find out. Welcome back to the last episode of season two on the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff back with you as always, wrapping up season two, Super Bowl 59, and doing something that I did not expect we would be able to do, right, which is start the recording with the game still going on. So this game is done. It's over for all intents and purposes. So
we're almost asking for a comeback to happen right now.
Yeah, because it's just getting ugly. But I mean, seven minutes left in the game. Philly's up 40-6.
Yeah, it's not happening.
So I mean, there's a lot to go over with this game. I mean, you said it so perfectly earlier. This couldn't have happened to a better team.
Right. I mean, it's bittersweet in my eyes because obviously you want a competitive game. You want some excitement, some thrills for a Super Bowl. But obviously with our own personal feelings, and I feel like the majority of America's feelings towards the Kansas City Chiefs, I think some humble pie was definitely in service today for KC. And thankfully for Philadelphia, to me, it couldn't have happened to a better team.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I would much prefer a good close game.
Right.
I mean, this is the last football game we're going to see for, what, 7 months?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's a little depressing. But, yeah, I love that Kansas City finally got knocked off their high horse. And quite honestly, I mean, as we dive into the game, like, I really don't even think it's a hot take to say that this was Patrick Mahomes' worst game of his career.
No, oh, absolutely. Bar none.
It's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, it could also go down as his offensive line's worst performance of the 100%. Year, because I feel like this it's less on Patrick Mahomes. It's been a lot more on what his offensive line has been able to do or not been able to do. He's been running for his life, and whenever he does try to hold out for a little bit longer, he holds it on for one extra second that he just doesn't have. And credit to Philadelphia, they've taken full advantage of that. They haven't needed any extra pass rushers, so that defensive front, they came to ball.
They're absolutely feasting.
Yep, they destroyed every game plan that Kansas City had in terms of offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mahomes, he's just throwing.
Yeah, he's just throwing he's anywhere. Just
throwing to nobody.
Nope.
Three turnovers for Mahomes, two picks, one fumble, a strip sack here just a few minutes ago. I mean, he just looks, he's had no time to do anything, to your point.
Yeah.
And it seems like from Kansas City's side of things, and this is where, you know, for me, I'll just take it on the chin and own it. Like, I got it wrong sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, from, I would say like week 16, week 17, like I was really vocal on this show about questioning Philadelphia's ability to throw the ball to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you watch this game and what Kansas City tried to do, like they were hell bent on stopping Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And,
got a pick. That's another turnover. Well, it was like it
called back. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was offside.
But, they were hell bent on stopping Saquon Barkley and, they were able to pass like it's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say I was like early on the bandwagon to throw a tirade at Philadelphia as you were. But I did go on record saying they were the worst of the top four seeds.
Yeah.
And between Detroit, them, Kansas City, and Buffalo. And honestly, I feel like they just came out with the perfect game plan. Kansas City has kind of demonstrated that they were kind of the team that we thought they were ever since like probably midway through the season, but we were too hesitant to really full flesh call them out on it because of what they did last year. Yeah. And I mean, for the past two seasons, they're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. So it becomes almost comedic if you try to call and say, oh, they're not the 15-2 team that they ended up being, because honestly, they demonstrate that they're not. They definitely have their flaws, their holes, and Philadelphia definitely exposed the holes on their offensive line this game. But Philadelphia, offensively, yes, the Kansas City kind of has a good game plan against Saquon, but they still put up 40 points. That's an incredible, well-filled roster that I didn't anticipate seeing this game. Jalen Hurts has threw an interception, but he's kind of avoided the big mistake. I mean, it was kind of like a punt at the end of the day when he threw that interception. So it wasn't worse for wear. And I mean, their defense has just put them in good position, good field position all game. So it, kudos to them. It's been a complete team game for Philadelphia.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like, I don't know that I necessarily buy into this, but I feel like the conversation around Jalen Hurts is now going to change as far as where he is in the list of top quarterbacks. I mean, he was 2-3 plays away 2 years ago from winning the Super Bowl. Now he's going to be a Super Bowl champ.
Right.
I mean, I heard conversations this week on the radio about putting him in the top five right around with, you know, Burrow, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but right. You know, he now has one thing that Burrow, Allen, and Jackson all do not have, which is a Super Bowl ring.
Right.
So,
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not sure if I would put him in that conversation. I feel like he's not the type of quarterback who's going to take a lot of MVPs home, like for solo performances or whatnot. But what he is he's definitely above average quarterback who can decide outcomes for a game, especially for a team like Philadelphia, who has a great defense out there. He's not going to cost you the game in that regard. I feel like he's a rich man's Joe Flacco back when Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl with Baltimore, like a decade ago?
Yeah.
Somewhere around that area.
In this stadium.
Yeah, in New Orleans as well. So to me, Jalen Hurts is the dual threat quarterback that Joe Flacco wasn't. Joe Flacco had a little bit better of maybe a cannon of an arm. What Jalen Hurts, maybe he's a little bit more accurate. And thanks to Philadelphia, they have the weapons there to complement Jalen Hurts' skill set with A.J. Brown, Goddard, and Devontae Smith. So they have the weapons if they need the passing game. It's just I don't think Philadelphia or Jalen Hurts is built to really be centered around a passing game. That's why that Saquon Barkley signing was so key and so instrumental to what they have accomplished this year.
It really was the last that's going to be offensive pass interference. It really was the last straw, the last key to this team,
right?
He being Saquon and making them a really complete team. So as far as, you know, the Eagles as a franchise, this is now going to be their fifth total title. So second Super Bowl title. They also had three championships that obviously predate the Super Bowl becoming a thing. You know, back in 2017, they won the Nick Foles Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Right.
And I feel like I wonder which one is more enjoyable as an Eagles fan. And the reason I say that is because the Nick Foles one, I feel like maybe you could say was a little bit more surprising.
Right.
And me personally, like, I always enjoy teams or games more when it's a surprising outcome.
Right.
Like, my favorite season I've ever watched the Yankees was 2017 when they were in, you know, quote unquote rebuild mode, and they made the playoffs and were up 3-2 on the Astros, about to go to the World Series. And obviously fell short, but like, nobody expected them to be there. The two best Jet seasons I've ever witnessed is when nobody expected them to get as far as they did.
Right.
And so I don't know. That's something I actually was going to ask you that question, like, more geared towards the Chiefs perspective. Like, I kind of, you know, anticipating them winning this game, like, do you want to be the fan of the team that, like, you expect to win, like, you know, you're going to win, or do you want to be the fan of the team that it comes out of nowhere?
I mean, as a common viewer, like, obviously you always root for the underdog.
Yeah.
That's just a common theme with any sport, really.
Yeah.
or any challenge in life. You root for the underdog. And definitely in this one, obviously, Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions. The vast majority of Americans are probably rooting for Philadelphia. In terms of what I would want to be, honestly, I'd love to be the one that is expected to win, to be honest with you, because that means you're at a constant success level.
Yeah.
And that where you're always invested and like, I mean, all of us as fans invest time into our teams and some money, like, into jerseys and merchandise and whatnot. So when they're not performing too well, it kind of becomes I mean, at the end of the year, you're like, man, I could have freed up so many Sundays this and that. I don't have to buy jerseys or whatever. But to me, like, I feel like personally, the feel good, like, you'll get a higher high with the underdog thing. Like, you'll reach a mountaintop where you're like, this is the greatest point of my life. But when you reach that level of consistency where you're expected to win, I feel like there's a lot less stress and a level of like security that you can invest your time in the things you enjoy in sports. Rather than going in week in and week out and be like, man, this is happening, that's happening. I don't know. I just like constant success.
It's interesting because if I'm being honest, like this year, this past baseball season, like the Yankees made it to the World Series and they were for sure the favorite going into the playoffs to make it to the World Series. So like, don't get me wrong. I was thrilled. I was ecstatic. Obviously, you know, we talked about it. I went to the World Series, but I kind of like watching the first couple rounds was like, this is what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it kind of took a little bit of enjoyment out of it because there were one or two moments where I'm like, okay, I'm going to be pissed if they don't make it because they're supposed to make it.
Right.
Which kind of just takes the fun out of it. So I think it's an interesting conversation. Like, you know, is it better to be the underdog where it comes out of nowhere and you're exciting or is it better to be the guy where you're going to be pissed if your team doesn't make it?
Maybe it's just different for me because being a D-backs fan, you're never expected to be anywhere, to be honest with you. And I mean, like, the Suns have never won an NBA championship. Let's see, the Saints, they won a Super Bowl the first year I followed football in general. That was just a lucky turnout for me at that point. And then, I mean, back when hockey was still in Arizona, they didn't win an NHL championship. The furthest they got was Western Conference Finals. So to me, like, maybe it's just different for me because I've had to ride the highs of being the underdog and not going into each season, not expecting much out of my teams. So maybe that's what, like, you crave it. You crave a constant success story from your team rather than, like, oh man, is this the year that we can make a runner or whatever the storyline is going to be? Whereas, like, say on your perspective, a Yankees fan, New York has been known to throw out competitors year in, year out. But maybe that's just how we were built and how we grew up. And that's why we have different feelings about it.
So are the Chiefs scarier now because they lost and they got their butts whooped rather than they would be if they would have three-peated? Like, are they going to be 10 times more motivated now that they were embarrassed on the biggest stage?
That's a question to be, I don't know where to go with that. I really don't. Obviously, when did they lose to Tom Brady?
They lost to Tampa Bay. I think it was in 2020, right? Or 2019 or 2020, whatever it was.
Did they win the Super Bowl after that?
They did.
Yeah. I mean, it's rough. It's hard to tell. I feel like this year's Kansas City team, as we said, they didn't demonstrate the qualities of a 15-2 team. Like, they were a good team. They're a good team. There's no doubt about it. They're not in the Super Bowl by mistake. It's just one of those things where they kind of showed what we were seeing all year. And I feel like what Philadelphia has done to Kansas City today, you kind of hope that the rest of the NFL kind of takes a look-see and be like, hey, Kansas City's not this immortal, untouchable monster that we kind of put them on a pedestal and we're just trying to get out of their way, hoping some other team knocks them off before we have to face them. But maybe this does spark something in Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But honestly, I don't know. If Travis Kelce continues whatever, I guess, nightlife or whatever, because he has been at a complete no-show outside of that Houston Texans game.
Yeah.
And if this is the Travis Kelce that Kansas City is going to get in the future, then they are in probably in a lot of trouble because Xavier Worthy is a really good receiver. I just don't know if he's number one receiver worthy. I don't know if he's going to reach the accomplishments that Tyreek Hill had when he was in Kansas City. But it's definitely going to be a work in progress for Kansas City. I think they have to if they really want to go back to Super Bowl and win one in the future, I think they really have to look hard at themselves in the mirror and realize that they are a flawed roster in some aspects, and that 15-2 record is not reflective of what they truly were, because 40-14 is a beatdown. That's what it is.
And it's interesting because this is the first time where, like this is not the first time where on paper Kansas City was not the best team.
Right.
Right. But it hasn't mattered. Mm-hmm. It hasn't mattered to this point. They've always been able to find a way.
Right.
To get it done. And this is the first time that they didn't get it done. And, you know, everybody said that the Eagles had the most complete roster in the NFL. They were the better team, mm-hmm. that they should beat Kansas City. But again, like I've said all year long, until I see it happen, I'm not going to believe that it's actually going to happen. Well, right. Guess what? Now it happened.
Right. So, it's happening. Yep.
Really curious to see what next year is going to look like. And, you know,
to me, it's exciting. It opens up the field for so many possibilities. Yeah. Like, honestly, now I feel like next year we can go in and be like, hey, I think this team can beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Yeah. And now I can say it with confidence rather than be like, the Chiefs are the Chiefs and no one's going to throw them off until we see it happen. Now that we've seen it happen, we can finally pick someone above the Kansas City with a logical reasoning saying, hey, this roster is better than the Chiefs roster at that point. But it'll be interesting to see how Patrick Mahomes personally handles losing this one.
Yeah, and I mean, from an Eagles perspective, we just saw Nick Sirianni get the Gatorade bath.
Yeah, the Gatorade bath.
What a turnaround for him specifically. Because if you think about how last year ended, like, right, they were 10-2, mm-hmm. and then they lost, what, 7 or 8 in a row, fell off the cliff, lost in the first round. They were 2-1, I think, earlier this year after a questionable coaching decision on his part, and everybody was saying that
he was fighting with fans.
He was fighting with fans.
I always go back to that.
Yeah, and everybody was saying he was 1 or 2 losses away from being out of there.
Yeah,
right. And now he's a Super Bowl champ.
Yeah,
and everybody is looking at him drastically different.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, it's interesting because he doesn't call the defense. Mm-mm. He doesn't call the offense. So he's got a pretty good setup. I mean, he's got a freaking loaded roster. Mm-hmm. He's got two amazing coordinators, one of which he's losing allegedly.
So,
you know, with Kellen Moore going to the Saints,
right?
Bad decision.
By who? Kellen Moore or the Saints? That's what I want to know.
Stay, Kellen. Stay. Pull a Ben Johnson. No, but I mean, Nick Sirianni, he's got a really good thing going. And now I think it becomes a conversation as we look into next year, like, how good can the Eagles be next year?
Right. Yeah. I mean, another year with Saquon Barkley, obviously I feel like teams, it's going to be a hard game plan via this game because Kansas City did a good job of containing Saquon Barkley and yet they still put up 40.
Yeah.
So if you're a team facing Philadelphia, this is the team to beat now. And this is the team to game plan around, build your roster and to make sure you can withstand whatever attack they throw at you in the playoffs. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a tough team to surpass. I mean, with Saquon Barkley there and Jalen Hurts, and as long as AJ Brown and Vontae Smith and Dallas Goedert are still there, they're going to be a hard team to overthrow. And that defense being what they are, yeah, that's a rough formula to overcome.
And then that's exactly what I was just going to say. The defense to me is the biggest storyline. And I said it during, early on in the game, the first quarter, mm-hmm. I heard a statistic this week that 12 times the number one overall defense has made it to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and they were 10-2,
mm-hmm.
right? Now this will be the 13th time and they'll be 11-2. Because obviously the Eagles had the number one overall defense.
Yeah, defense won championships.
And I 100% agree. And so, I mean, I don't know who, I couldn't tell you who they're losing, who's a free agent, who's going to retire, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mekhi Becton. That's so bittersweet for me as a Jets fan.
Yeah.
Just a terrible, terrible, terrible lineman for the Jets. And of course, now he's going to go win a Super Bowl. So good for him.
First round pick for you guys.
He was a first round pick. Yeah. So 3-4 years ago and was pretty much an utter disaster, for the majority of,
that credit to, the Philadelphia coaching staff and what they've been able to do, because they also have some, pieces that have left New Orleans, like Zach Bond. He got an interception this game. They signed him to a 1-year deal. So to turn,
wow,
what a throw.
What a stupid throw.
Yep. Xavier Worthy. Well, there you go.
Unbelievable.
I mean, pulling out his best Tyreek impression.
Literally right there. Just threw it up as far as he possibly could.
Yeah. And Xavier Worthy was right there, right in the money.
Wow.
So, but yeah, Zach Bond, a 1-year deal with Philadelphia. He got an interception this game. So he's in for a pretty good payday because he's been a very, very solid leader there for that Philadelphia defense. So, I mean, this is what Philadelphia has been able to do. They take the scraps from other teams and they've put them to work and reap the benefits of it. Another person, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, another player that came from New Orleans. He got traded to Philadelphia and it worked out for him. They won a Super Bowl back when during the Nick Foles era. So it's just one of those things where, Philadelphia just has it figured out in terms of how to get the best and the most out of their players that they signed via free agency and through the draft. So kudos to them. I can't think of a better. They let them down last year, but I mean, it was more mental than anything. But the system they have implemented right now is working out for them.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know who for sure. I heard it was Nick Sirianni, which kind of credits a little bit of him actually being a decent coach, is that they had the foresight to move Mekhi Becton from left tackle to right guard to kind of beef up the offensive line.
Right.
And I mean, the offensive line has been one of the best parts of this team. So, I mean, to your point about coaching. So here's Jalen Hurts' statistics, 17 of 22, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. He's been pulled because the game is, at this point, it's 40.
Sounds like Super Bowl MVP to me.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll probably be that way. I really would love to see somebody on the defense.
Absolutely. I feel like that whole defensive line deserves to be sharing that Super Bowl MVP award for sure.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to? What are you looking for? Not maybe forward to, but what do you have your eye on for next year?
Outside the Saints, obviously, we got to keep track of our own teams. But obviously, Washington, the Commanders, seeing how they build off Jay and Daniels, obviously losing the NFC Championship I wouldn't say it was a heartbreaker, but it was definitely a testament of how far you can go, how much that organization has evolved with the new ownership group and as the Commanders now. And obviously with Philadelphia, the Super Bowl winner, in your own division, I'm wondering how they approach being in the same division as them, and how they go about competing against a Super Bowl caliber team, especially twice a year, at least. In terms of the AFC side, obviously Buffalo is my number one team to watch out for. I'm definitely curious to see how they build around Josh Allen. Is Amari Cooper, where's he going to go? Obviously, he didn't pull up the production numbers of number one wide receiver. He was definitely kind of let down in that regard, even though he was more of a veteran presence there for the younger guys. So I'm wondering if they get another number one receiver, receiving talent like a Stephon Diggs, but obviously not with the baggage that Stephon Diggs brought. And if they can finally stay healthy next year, that's the number one goal, especially now that they see that Kansas City, they're basically their demon in the playoffs is beatable.
Yeah,
I hope they can look at this game and see that they can do something about it, even though they've been eliminated by them by 4 times in a row.
Yeah, and I mean, we know of at least 3 big name wide receivers that are going to be available. Mm-hmm. Cooper Kupp has been told that he's going to be traded. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel has requested a trade from San Francisco, and he's been given permission to basically go talk to teams and find a trade partner. Mm-hmm. And all signs are pointing that Davante Adams is gone in New York.
Right.
And there it is.
Yeah, that's
last play.
That's
so
the final
score, 40 to 22. Philadelphia over Kansas City, Super Bowl 59, unreal. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I, you know what I'm really curious about? Side note is I'm wondering if now that like the quote unquote dynasty like is no longer a thing, like is it just are the tires going to fall off? Like is Spagnuolo going to be done? And is he going to try and go somewhere else and beef up the defense somewhere else?
Right.
Is Reed going to say, okay, I'm done? Is Kelsey going to say I'm done? Like all of a sudden, did they just like slay Goliath? And it's the Chiefs are a thing of the past. I know that's probably wishful thinking to a point,
I mean, as long as Patrick Mahomes is there, I'm not going to.
I know.
I talked about it last. Yeah. I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah.
I feel like even if they everyone leaves and it's just Patrick Mahomes and like a new head coach or new receiver set, I mean, as long as Patrick Mahomes is there, I feel like it's a playoff caliber team. It's just going to be depending on who else is around. Obviously, Andy Reid is going to be hard to replace as a head coach.
Oh my gosh,
yeah. That is not an easy coach to replace and by any means. But as long as you have Patrick Mahomes there, kind of like the generational quarterback of this era, it's hard to write them off that quickly in that and that, I guess, much of a downfall. In that regard, I say no.
yeah, it's probably just wishful thinking. But yeah,
That's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I mean, on my end, selfishly as a Jets fan, I mean, obviously it came out today that that Rodgers is they're done with him. Apparently, not he's done with them; they're done with him.
Mm.
So curious to see what they do there. 2025 looks like it's going to be an epic disaster
mm-hmm.
from a Jets perspective. But I mean, this is. You know, getting back to this game, this is what the NFL wanted, right? Everything they do, the way the league is structured with the draft and free agency, salary cap, so on and so forth, it's designed for parity, right? Mm-hmm. It's designed so that no team can do basically what the Chiefs have done,
right,
for the better part of the last 5 years. So this is an exciting time for the NFL. Nick Sirianni is super emotional.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm happy for him. Emotional guy hugging his kids doesn't get much better than that. Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, this is exactly what the NFL wants. They want the parity. They want every year. It's a different team up there, hoisting the Lombardi. So I think it's good for the NFL and it'll be exciting for next year.
Right.
But that's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right. Yeah. Well, this concludes season 2.
That's it.
What do they know podcast?
No more weeks until 7 months from now.
Well, maybe we'll see if we can do some sort of draft episode
like
we tried last year, and it's up in the cloud somewhere. Nobody ever
only in our memories.
Yeah, but hope you guys enjoyed.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in for another year.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Yep.
Especially after 2 weeks ago with our just
tirade
of an episode. We never really talked about that. We never really addressed that, but that was, I think, therapy for both of
us. We're voicing a lot of frustration on both of our parts, but thankfully, I feel like this Philadelphia outcome definitely relieved a lot of stress for both of us seeing this transpire.
Yep.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we will. We'll see you guys next year.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next year.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.